want to just barely survive. Because here's what I found. You know, we talked about thriving, and thriving has to do with bearing fruit. Okay? It has to do with being fruitful. So God wants us to be fruitful. We get to see that through reproduction, not just of animals or people, but even of the plants. And so, like, sometimes what you can do to a plant to make them want to reproduce is you can kind of stress the plant out, because the plant was made to reproduce. And if a plant is stressed, it will actually try to put on fruit so that it isn't the last generation. It tries to make sure all the time that it's not the last generation. And you know, a plant don't have a brain, right? And so they're not smart like us. But you know what they're doing? They're doing what God designed them to do. They're trying to thrive with everything they've got. In a drought, they will try to thrive. They will try to be fruitful. And we as Christians, we need to desire to be fruitful. Okay, so last week we really focused in, we really concentrated on the agricultural ways that Jesus showed us about thriving and about the difference between that and just barely surviving. And if we're not surviving and thriving, then we're dying. And if we're barely surviving, then we're on our way to dying. And so we're kind of in the process of getting there. And we don't want to be like that as individual Christians. Do I get an amen to that? Do you want to thrive, church? Do you want to thrive? Do you want to thrive? You guys are still a little weak on this, but we're going, yeah, I think so. Yes, let's thrive. Because you see, the next question I'm going to ask is, do we want this church to thrive? Okay, and I know that there's many here that do, but we've got to decide together, collectively, that we're not only going to want to thrive, but we're going to try to take the steps that it's going to take to thrive. You see, I look around our community, and I'm going to be honest with you, a lot of the little churches that I see around the area are not trying to thrive, guys. They're trying to survive. They literally are trying to survive. They're surviving, and you can tell by the way they keep up their building. You can tell by the way they take care of the things around it that they're in survival mode. They're just trying to barely make it so that they can meet together and have a meeting once a week. That is not why a church building exists. A church building exists to be a thriving center of outreach. That's why God allows us to have a building to meet in, because He has allowed us to be a group big enough that we can't just meet in a house, okay? And otherwise, house churches are fine, actually, but the problem with the house church is it can only grow so big before it outgrows its ability to be able to meet together. And so God has given us a building here so that we can be a thriving community that's reaching out to our neighbors and growing, multiplying. He wants us to be a multiplying community. Okay, remember Jesus talked about multiplication in the agricultural way. Well, for us to do that, well, we saw that that each person, whenever they're born again, is somewhat like a new babe in Christ, right? We talked about that kind of at the beginning of the sermon series. That's what we're really going to focus in on today. Because if we start to understand what it means to thrive as a Christian individual, as a child of God, and then we become a thriving individual, and all of us become thriving individuals in God, and we're excited about growing in God, what will happen is the church then begins to thrive and multiply as well. And so the thriving of the church is going to depend on how much we thrive as individuals. Now, Jesus used the agricultural examples a lot. Whenever we look at the Scripture, Peter and Paul, and even the writer of Hebrews, uses the child development example. So that's what we're really going to focus in on today. So we're going to get personal here. We're going to look at how a person grows. But before we do, let's kind of review what we've been learning. Last week, our takeaway, and the week before that, was, first of all, we had a definition for thriving. And to thrive, it literally means to be bearing fruit. It's not just an option, it's actually Jesus' command. It's actually why Jesus saved us, is so that we would bear fruit. Last week, if you were here, you know that we went through chapter 15 of John a certain amount, and it says that if a branch doesn't bear fruit, the Father is the one who prunes it off. Okay? And the branches that absolutely bear no fruit are just, they're torn off and they're thrown into the fire. I don't know about the rest of you guys, but that sounds like it makes it a very very plain statement that if there's a branch not bearing any spiritual fruit at all, now I'm not just talking about just bringing in new Christians, but But even the fruit of the Spirit and things that should be coming out of a Christian, if it's not got anything coming out of it, I would think that we better stop and ask, am I really of the vine? And if I'm not, you see, the solution is really simple at that point. It's to repent and give your life to Christ. It's not meant to be an insult. Sometimes we're almost afraid to bring that up in the church because we're like afraid somebody's going to doubt their salvation or something. Guys, I don't want you living in doubt, but if you're not saved, I want you to know it. We're not going to coddle you, because if we do, you might end up like standing before Jesus and Him saying, away from me, for I never knew you. I do not want one person in this room to hear those words. I want every person in this room to say, come into the rest which I have prepared for you. Well done, good and faithful servant. Now enter into your time of rest. That's my desire for you. You know, that is actually the scripture about away from me, you who practice lawlessness, that called me to the ministry. I was reading in the Bible the day after I knew I was called to the ministry, and I asked God, I said, show me what this is all about. And He let me read those verses, and He spoke into my heart, and He said, don't you ever let one person go to find that out without first warning them, preacher. That's why I've put you there. You make sure that every person under your care as a shepherd will make sure that they really belong to me. So it is my aim and goal that every one of you look at your life and see, am I bearing fruit? Am I bearing spiritual fruit? Do I bear the mark of being a Christian by, first of all, having the fruits of the Spirit flowing from my life? Can anybody name those off? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, we're always afraid of laws and stuff. You know what it actually says right after that? And against such, there is no law. You see, guys, if we've got the fruit of the Spirit flowing out of us, we're not worried about breaking laws anymore, because we're up on the upper side of that thing, and we're just living for God. We're letting God live through us. The fruit of the Spirit is like the proof of the sap of the Holy Spirit flowing through us. That's what it's all about, okay? So that's the first of the fruit that needs to be coming out of every Christian. The second of the fruit is to be multiplying. He actually talks about multiplying fruit. And so yes, at some point, we should be discipling others. Amen? Do I get an amen to that? That needs to be a part of that multiplication in us. Maybe it's right there in our very own home. Those need to be our first disciples. You know, I've been pastoring for about 5 years, and God rebuked me, maybe six. He really rebuked me sharply. He said, you are spending all of your time trying to disciple everyone else, and many of them are not even making themselves available, and you're not discipling your own children like you should. They're your first disciples. And so I listened, and I said, yes, Lord, you're right. I need to do better at discipling my children. You know, and it's biblical. If you look, it says that the church leader, his own home, his own family has to be in order before he can really lead the household of God. And I was trying, don't get me wrong, but whenever God corrects us, guys, we need to say, yes, Lord, you're right. That's called confession. And then we need to say, God, I repent. I'm going to start doing this. The first ones you need to make sure that you're multiplying are your own children. Do you want to get to heaven and your children not be there? Do you want to get to heaven and your grandchildren not be there? God, help us. No, we want them there above all, right? Not that we favor anybody, but sure, they're closer to us. They're part of us. And then all these others, we need to be a thriving Christian, bearing fruit. We found out that that's the definition, and then we found out the first thing you got to have is good soil. You know, from the agricultural standpoint, good soil, the seed hits good soil and it goes. I don't know what they put on this grass seed nowadays. Have you seen that green stuff they spray on there? They till up the soil, they put down the grass seed, and they spray something on it. I don't know what that is, but our neighbor got their ground fixed, you know, because of the lead abatement thing. And they sprayed that stuff out within a week. They're ready to mow their grass. I can't figure this stuff out. That's some fruitful grass. And that fertilizer that's on that good soil is really working like crazy. And you see, that's kind of how it works. You prepare the soil. God plants the seed, which is the Word of God. We ain't got to willingly let that seed get planted, right? We come to church. We read it during the week. We do Bible studies. We listen to good preaching on the radio, maybe. There's a lot of different ways. But as soon as that soil hits, that good soil, or that seed hits that good soil, that's whenever we start to see it grow, flourish, and thrive and begin to have fruit on it. And the only way that a branch is going to abide, going to bear fruit is if it abides in Christ. And so we found out, number three, that abiding is being connected to, staying connected to. And then we also understood from last week that being pruned is a part of the deal. Okay, so not only does he cut off the limbs that are bearing nothing, they get thrown into the fire, he also goes to the ones that are bearing something and he gets rid of all the extra stuff that we don't need. And we found out that the word there actually means to be cleansed. So we're lifted up first through salvation, and then we're cleansed of all of the stuff that's going to hold us back from bearing fruit. What kind of things is God trying to cleanse in your life? You know, you come to Christ, you got some bad stuff in there, I don't know about the rest of you guys, but whenever I was living as a lost man, I was doing a lot of stuff that didn't please God. I had attitudes that definitely did not please God. You know, I'll admit it, you know. I mean, I'm not gonna hide or try to act like somehow or another I was good enough to be saved, because I wasn't. I had a terrible temper. I was prejudiced toward people that weren't like me. I really had a bad attitude at times. I looked at things I shouldn't be looking at. I watched things on TV that really were not godly. I listened to songs and sang them in my mind that the words were abhorrent. Can anybody relate to any of that stuff? Okay, now if I became a Christian and I had this soil and this seed got planted in it and it somehow survived, but I didn't let God cleanse me of those things, would I thrive? No. There'd be no fruit. Those weeds would choke it all out, right? It would be a terrible thing. So we got to let God prune us, cleanse us, and begin to do that. Now we're going to get on to the newborn baby. All right. Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 1 through 3. Therefore, this is exactly what God's talking about here. He's talking about a newborn baby in Christ here through Peter. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit. Remember those things I told you that used to be in my life before I came to Christ? When you come to Christ, you need to lay it aside. Okay? The Father begins to prune it from an agricultural example. But as a newborn babe in Christ, we need to lay aside all these things. Malice, all deceit. Let's read them together. Malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking. So is it a sin to curse and cuss? Yeah. It also is to speak evil of others. We need to lay it aside, right? Why? Because, verse 2, as newborn babes, okay, your new babe in Christ, when you first come to him, you lay all those other things aside. It means they were in your life, but now you're going to forsake them. You're going to let God prune them off. And as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So I'm just going to ask you, have you tasted that the Lord is gracious, church? Have you tasted the sweetness of his of that beginning grace that brings you to salvation, and it's so sweet whenever you're saved? That's like that milk of the newborn. It's sweet. It draws you in. I'm just going to ask you, what do babies crave? Milk! Right? I got it in all caps with the exclamation point. I wanted to kind of scream at you. What is Sawyer, what did he crave whenever he was just a little newborn babe? Milk! And they don't just ask for it nicely, they demand it. And if they don't get it, they'll cry about it. And if you don't hear them, they'll cry louder. And they don't give up until they get it. And here's the deal, guys. That's the way we need to be for God's Word. You see, we've become saved nowadays in the modern-day church, and we say, hey, it's it. I'm good. See you when I get to heaven, Jesus. I'm going to go live my life and do what I want. And Peter said, nope. That's not salvation. Salvation is laying aside all the malice, right? All the deceit. All. Like no deceit is okay. Hypocrisy. What is hypocrisy? Can anybody tell me what that is? Acting. What were you going to say? Okay. It could be like judging somebody else for something you do and try to act like you're not really doing it, right? But it comes down to acting. It literally is another word for actor. So, do you ever see people that act like Christians, but through the week they don't live like Christians? It's saying we need to lay that aside, okay? And envy, and evil speaking, we need to lay it aside. And we need to be like a newborn babe and just crave that spiritual milk, right? And that's what babies crave. And that's what makes them thrive. And the more of mama's milk they get, did you ever notice, like, they come out, I really love babies, you can tell that. They come out with real wrinkly skin. They're all wrinkly and cute, and kind of small, and, you know, they're tiny little things, but their skin looks like it's too big to fit on their body. You know why? Because about 2 weeks of that milk, and they go, I mean, they just fill that skin up so cute, and they're just all pinchable. It's because they crave that milk. And within a month, you're like, oh my goodness, where did that newborn baby go? You know, they're all ballooned out with all this good milk. It's just creating all this thriving chubbiness to them, right? Because they're going to grow into that. God knows what he's doing. They crave that milk first. But you know, just like a baby craves the milk when they're small, they get teeth, they grow. That's what we need to be doing as Christians, growing. Growing up a little bit. We don't want to stay newborn infants. So as we grow and we get teeth, what does Sawyer want now? Everything he can get his hands on. There's nothing Sawyer sees that he don't want to try to eat. Because he's growing up. Our little boy in the church is already growing up, right? He's getting big. He's walking, he's getting stronger, he's got teeth, and I have literally held that boy before whenever there was food around. He is downright mad if you just try to give him just milk while you're eating a steak. He wants the steak now. And it wouldn't have done no good to give a steak to him when he was newborn. He probably would have tried. That boy came out with the gift of eating. There ain't no doubt about it. But you see, as we grow up and we become adolescent, we need more, right? Adolescent needs more. And that's what we get to in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 13. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, so he's saying, guys, you ought to grow up. You ought to be able to teach. How many of our folks would you say you feel confident that you're mature enough to teach others? Now, it also says that not everybody should desire to be like the position of teacher, but guys, we're all called to teach somebody. So how many of us feel like that we're in a place with our Christianity that we're feeling confident that we can begin to teach others? We get a few hands up. Don't be afraid to admit it if you're feeling that way. That's good, because we all ought to be working toward that. It's our call. It's about being fruitful. And he says, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles. Those first principles are the milk of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Okay, now, if all of a sudden, you know, we notice that Sawyer just, he didn't want any solid food at all. All he wanted was milk again. We would know there's something wrong. But you know what? The American Christian Church, oftentimes across America, is coming to the church and all they really want is milk. I hear criticism of preachers that go too deep into the Word and trying to feed the flock, and they'll say, you know, that preacher, he needs to cool it. He's too worried about preaching all these different areas of the Scripture. Guys, before you get out of here, if I stay here long enough, I want you to have learned every part of the Scripture there is. But here's my admonition to you. Don't wait on me. Because once a week ain't going to be quick enough. I'm going to probably have to be here about 60 years to get through the whole bit of Scriptures. You notice I don't preach a lot of topical sermons. I almost always go through books. Because I want you to be able to get like the whole of Scripture. And I shouldn't make points that are based on just my opinion. It needs to be based on the Word of God, and that's how you need to think too. You see, I'm trying to teach you something about how I teach. I want you to understand that the Bible is the authority. And you need to learn yourself how to handle the Word of God so that you can teach others. But you see, if all we keep doing is hanging out with the milk, we're all going to stay spiritual babies. And you're not going to thrive and produce fruit if you stay a baby. Remember I talked about my fruit trees? I'll go back to that because those fruit trees really irk me. I got some of those fruit trees that are 5 years old, and I swear they're only this big. I can tell, even if they had an apple on it, it'd probably tear the limb off. They're not big enough to bear fruit. So we were talking on the way out to the conference, and we decided we planted those trees in the wrong place. Soil's not good enough. They don't get the right amount of light. We're going to have to move them a little bit. You think that's going to stress them out to move them? You betcha. Does it stress you out if you got to move a little bit? You betcha. But we need to be stressed sometimes a little bit. Because if we get too comfortable in our little seat, I know, some of y'all sit in the same seat every week. I know that. I'm not just picking on you about the pew. It's okay here. But we need to be willing to let God move us. And so here's the deal. I use the pew. All right. Do you guys, how many of you guys sit in the exact same place in the same pew every week? It's okay. Go ahead and raise your hand. Tell me the truth. Okay. It's all right. I'm not looking down on you. It's all right. I understand. I do too. I do too. Do you have your evening pew if you come to the evening service a little different? That happens too. It's okay. But here's my question. If a new visitor walked in next Sunday, and they didn't have a clue that that was your place. And they beat you here, and they take your seat. Are you going to get upset with them? I hope not. We can just let them have that seat, don't you think? Because, like, God ain't just at that seat. God's everywhere. And so we can go ahead and allow God to move us then, right? Are we okay with that? Give me a thumbs up if you're okay with that. All right, come on now. Because I actually saw a case twice in this church where somebody sat in another person's seat. And one guy got mad and said he was going home. And the other person went over and tapped him on the shoulder and said, "You must not realize you're sitting in my seat and you need to move." So everybody looks around and they go, "Who was it?" Neither one of those people are in this room right now. I think somebody permanently took their seat. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. If I got to stand out there and keep the doors open so that I can see what's coming in and only come in when it's my turn to preach or whatever, I'll be satisfied. Let this church fill up to where we got people standing out looking in through the windows. Please. I know it'll be a little uncomfortable, but that's the point. We're supposed to be growing and multiplying. I heard people, after we grew a certain amount, after about 2 years, I heard people say, and again, you know, I'm not bad-mouthing anybody, but they said, "We used to like our little church, and we wish it was still that way." That is really not a thriving Christian attitude. Thriving means that we want to be fruitful. Thriving means it's going to get us out of our comfort zone, just like we need to get those apple trees out of their comfort zone. Sometimes we as Christians have to get out of our comfort zone. So, let's be willing to grow up. Get off the milk, move in our teaching, dig deep in the Word, get into the steak, the solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the Word of righteousness, for he is a babe. We need to grow up. Do I get an amen? So we go from the newborn baby stage, craving the milk. Just give me the elementary principles. That's all I can handle right now. I can't handle the steak. to moving up to adolescent. I want something better to eat. I need something more solid. Let me dig deeper. And here's the deal. In Hebrews, the next verse shows us it's actually a choice we have to make. Do I get an amen to this? You got to make that choice. Nobody can force you to grow up. They may tell us sometimes that we need to grow, but ultimately it says, but solid food belongs to those who are full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. By reason of use. That means you've got to make a decision to get in the Word of God on your own time. You can't just leave it up to the preacher to spoon feed you everything that you're going to get, because it's not going to be enough. Y'all don't come here one day a week to eat your food and say, that's going to be enough for me the rest of the week. You're going to need more. Yeah, we have two other services too on a regular basis. That may help. But ultimately, you need to be in the Word of God each and every day. We have to make that choice. I've got to make that choice. I have to make that choice. And you have to make that choice. And I know, I can tell you, I never imagined being as busy as I am. And by being that busy, sometimes it's like, I don't know how I'm going to carve that time out, but I have to carve that time out. We have to. Because by reason of use, that's how you exercise. And by exercise, you learn to discern both good and evil. That's why we've got Christians that are being dragged into all kinds of false teachings. Because they don't learn through exercise. So what do you do before you run a marathon? Do you just show up on the day of the marathon? 26-mile run? Okay, I'm here. It's the first time I ever thought about running a marathon, but I'm here. I think I'm going to win. No. The person that really wants to win the marathon, they train. They exercise. They get ready. They're dreaming of it. And then when they get there, they're ready to run the race. That's the way we need to be. We need to be, by reason of exercise, learning to discern both good and evil. Here's the deal. We all live busy lives. We all live busy lives. Most of us live busy lives. Would everybody here agree you live a pretty busy life? I haven't found a person yet that thinks, you know, I'm really not that busy. Most of us think we're pretty busy, okay? I used to think I was busy. Now I know I'm, like, exceeding what I thought was busy before. But here's the deal. The fact that we're busy isn't the problem. You see, because everybody is busy. You're going to have things that keep you busy in life. That's why God the Father prunes things off of our busyness to make room for growth. You see, He's going to begin to show us as we grow up that there's some stuff we need to cut out of our life. Here's the thing that gets me. How much time do you think that the average person spends reading the Bible? Hour a week, I heard. I don't know, but I've asked sometimes people to raise hands that read the Bible every day, and I don't know if you guys are fibbing me or not, but there ain't too many hands that go up. So if we're not reading it every day, all right, would you be honest with me if I asked you, okay, how many of you read the Bible every day? At least I'm talking just a couple verses. Okay, I got a few hands up. All right, and I, again, it's not to judge. How many of you read the Bible twice a week? If you weren't every day, okay, I get a couple more hands up twice a week, all right? So why do you think that you don't do it every day if you do it twice a week? Too busy. Okay. So, not a habit. That could be one of them. It's okay. You guys can throw ideas at me because I'm trying to understand it. I'm good. I'm not judging anybody. I just know that we can't grow up until we start to eat. We have got to get on solid food before we're really going to grow up. And so here's the deal that I've seen. I've seen statistics on how long people spend watching TV. And every time I do that, I get depressed. Guys, the national statistic is like 8 hours a day in front of some type of screen. Okay, so I just made a lot of you guys feel better because you're probably only in about 3 or 4, some of you. I don't know what you are. But, I mean, if you start thinking about it, for us to even say that we watch a half-hour TV program a day, but say we don't have time to read the Bible, we need to prune something off. I heard an uh-huh and an amen, but I want to know, does that sound reasonable to everybody? I know, I've went from preaching to meddling now. I'm really getting on everybody's nerves. But guys, for us to be a thriving church, and that is my call. You see, as the pastor, I am the shepherd, the under-shepherd of the good shepherd, and Jesus wants this church to thrive. And so he said, now, John, I want you to go and lead this church to thrive. And so if we have time to watch TV, then we need to allow God to maybe carve that off so that we got time to read the Bible. Okay? All right? Maybe you don't watch TV, but you still don't read the Bible. Look at your life and see what you can trim so that you'll have time to read the Bible. Okay? But we have to read the Bible. If we want to thrive, we have to be in the Bible. Some people say that they don't like to read, and I'll raise my hand. I do not like to read. You will not find a person anywhere that likes to read any less than I do. I do not like to read. It's hard for me to concentrate. But I can tell you, I can't grow without reading the Word of God. And I found that out very early on. So, if he needs to prune some stuff so that you got room for growth, my next question is, are you letting him do it? Are you letting him do it? Because you got to let him do it. It's awful hard to prune if they're going like this. You know, my trees, they never do this. Stop. I just walk up. I'm the gardener. And I take my little snips. And I just snip off a limb. Okay, and just if you're wondering, it's just the trees in the backyard that don't ever produce anything. We do have trees that do produce in the front yard. So that's why we're going to make those trees uncomfortable. We're going to move them. But nonetheless, what we need to do is we need to let God prune off the areas and make room for growth. So, one more example. Paul explained this in the Corinthian church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, he says, "And I, brethren," next slide, "and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ." Now, we could say, well, it's okay to be a baby, right? It's okay to be a baby when you're supposed to be a baby. And that's what Paul's saying. By this time, y'all shouldn't be babies anymore. Okay, he planted the church. He stayed with the church. He stayed in Corinth for a while. He helped that church get on its feet. He appointed leaders, and then he left because it was time for him to go start other churches. And now they're having all these problems, and he's saying, I should be able to talk to you guys like you're mature because you've been Christians for a while. So what this is telling me is we are expected by God to grow up. He doesn't create little babies as a norm and say, okay, they're going to be a baby forever. There's a process that they go through, and if they don't, we assume something's wrong. And so in American Christian church, oftentimes, Christians don't grow up. 15, 30 years down the road, they still don't know the Word of God. They still can't answer spiritual questions. They still maybe only attend on Sunday if they can. And if they don't, you know, you can see. There's a lot of people that don't make it. You know, maybe it's because they don't like what I'm preaching. I don't know, but I'm just preaching the Bible, folks. And Paul is saying there's an expectation here that the babes should grow up. He said, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you are not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able. And are you still carnal? You know why most people are still babes in Christ? It's because they're still living in the flesh. You remember the first part of this sermon? The first scripture I pulled up said, you need to cut these things out of your life. You need to set them aside. The carnality of our fleshly life. And it's saying Christians have to set it aside. Otherwise, we keep drinking milk. We're not eating solid food. We're not going to thrive. We're not going to grow. And we're not going to produce fruit. It says, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? You know why there's so many these little stupid problems that come up in churches that we hear about, the split churches, that we say, really? Throwing away a fork? Somebody's fork? I know, I've heard that story a couple times. Split a church. You know why? Because they were babes in Christ and they were carnal and they were not looking at it spiritually because they didn't know the Word of God. Guys, the deeper you get in the Word of God and the more we grow up, the more we realize heaven and hell are an absolute. They are absolutely necessarily true. And if people do not know Christ, they are going to go to hell, and that better bother us. And while we're busy toying around drinking milk, the rest of the world's going to hell in a handbasket in a hurry. You know, every time that a person dies, if they don't know Jesus, they are going to spend eternity in hell for their sins. And you know, we don't want to talk about it because it makes people feel bad. And if we make people feel bad, they may not come back. I can tell you guys, Christ is my Lord, and you couldn't have chased me away from my church with good teaching. No matter how bad it hurt, even personality conflicts, you weren't going to make me leave my church. Because I was there to serve God, and I believe God called me there. Did God call you here? Then you serve God here. Now, I'm not going to try to teach you off, but I am going to tell you the truth. And the truth is, we need to grow up, church. We need to grow up. It is my aim and goal to literally try to help you guys grow to the point that you do not need me to teach you. That you'll be able to learn on your own and be able to teach others. I can tell you, I do not want to see this church die if I die. I want to see this church thrive. And I stand here before you today saying, if I drop dead right now, I don't see anybody mature enough to step into the place and lead. And the ones that are getting too old to do it. It's going to take people in this church from this congregation agreeing that it's time to grow up. Get off the milk, get on the food, and let's go forward together and win this world to Christ. And it's going to cost us something. I'm going to tell you how much it costs our Chinese believers. Guys, we were reading this book last night on the way home from our conference. It was very convicting to me. They were teaching the Chinese people how to go out and plant churches and do evangelism. Do you know what one of the parts of their courses are? How to escape from handcuffs. How to jump from a second story window without breaking your legs. And you sit there and you scratch your head and you go, why are you telling us this, and why in the world are they learning that? I'm going to tell you why they're learning it. It's because when they go out to serve Christ, they expect to get arrested. And they will put them on second story holding areas because they don't think they'll have the nerve to jump. But since they want to be able to make it to the next community to bring Christ, they are willing to jump out of the second story windows, get out of the handcuffs, so that they can get on to the next village and take Christ with them. And we're not willing to get out of the pew to take Christ across the street. And we've got to grow up. I know that sounds really severe, and I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be a downer. I'm just trying to be truthful. It's why our country is in such a mess. And we keep blaming it on everybody else, but it's really our fault, and we just need to get about it. And if we want to see this world change, then Christ is the only one that can change it in the right direction, and there's people that don't know about Him, and it's our responsibility to go. So please, get in the Word of God, because I can guarantee you, if you get in the Word of God and you pray daily, God will change your heart. I don't have to tell you, and I won't have to guilt you into serving. I won't have to try to chase you down or call you to come and join. What you're going to want to do is you're going to be asking me to do things, because you're going to be in the Word of God, and you're going to be challenged by God every day, and I'm going to be moving too slow for you. And you're going to be saying, preacher, make things for me to do because I want to serve. And you know what? Whenever you do that, I'll make sure that we have things that we can do. First 5 or 6 years, I spent planning events and trying to recruit help until everybody got so tired of helping that they kind of decided we're tired and we don't want to do that no more. And I did. I had a lot of events, and I really thought that if we continued to do events, we would grow. And we did. We grew to about 100. But whenever people got tired, it was my events that they were helping me with, and that ain't going to work. And I'm not doing that anymore. So what I believe is, I believe that as you grow and you mature, you're going to want to do things, and I'm beginning to see it happen, and that's good. But I'm just saying, you come tell me what you want to do, and I'll make sure that we do it together, and we do it biblically, but I'm not going to beg you to do the things I want to do, because I just don't think that's the right model. So I'm out front. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to serve God no matter what, and I'm going to be out there whenever I can witnessing. I'm going to be out there doing whatever I can to be equipped. Y'all might wonder why I go to all these conferences. I go to these conferences to be equipped and encouraged and able. If you want to come to some of them with us, we got one coming up in October. It's about being trained how to work with children. And it's in Louisville, Kentucky. It costs $50 to go. You can ride with us, and we'll go together. But I want to be equipped because we're working with children. That's one of our best opportunities. Children in schools, children through the Bible club in a school, children right here on Wednesday night. You know, our vacation Bible school is only 1 week of the year, and the rest of the weeks of the year, the other 51, those same kids are living in our community and need to be tended to. It's the only way that we're going to win this next generation. So I'm being equipped. That's why I go. I don't like driving. I hated driving 5 hours home last night. But we do it for the cause of Christ. And I want to be ready when you're ready, and we'll move together and we'll go together. But we need to have the same heart. So let's grow past the milk. Let's grow into the spiritual food. This place isn't here just to meet on Sunday. It's here to reach our community for Christ. Let me pray for you. Dear Father, first step in all of this process is to know that we are yours. And so, Lord, if there's anybody here that needs to surrender their heart to Jesus for salvation, Lord, let today be the day. Help us to make you our main thing, Lord. You can't be just a side issue in our life. You got to be the main thing. Father, I pray that you would help this to be a thriving church because we are thriving Christians. Lord, help us to want to be thriving Christians. I remember some years ago, I realized I'd been a Christian for about 5 years, and I still had never led anybody to Jesus. I would talk about you, and I did everything I could at times to point towards you in ways, but I asked you. I said, Lord, it was New Year's. I said, let me lead at least one person to Jesus this year. And I know others could say, well, you know, there's no way to prove that that person really came to Jesus, but I know one thing, you honor my request. I didn't even make it through that month. Later that month, I encountered a woman while I was on a mission trip, and I explained about Jesus to her, and I asked her, do you want to follow Jesus? Would you be ready to give your life to him? And she said, oh, yes, could you show me how? I'm just going to say, that was the single best experience in my life other than being saved myself. It was being able to lead that woman, her name was Paula, in prayer to give her life to you. I'll never forget it. And I'm forever in desire of the next opportunity to see another person come to you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to lead others and to disciple others so that they can grow. Lord, please help us to be all about that. That would be our main thing. And then our jobs and all that other stuff that we have to do to support it would be there to support the work of God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.